The Boulder Tech Podcast is presented by Boulder Startup Week 2019 title sponsor, TechStars. At the core, TechStars is a company founded by entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs. With more than 300,000 alumni and 10,000 mentors across 150 countries, TechStars is a worldwide network that helps entrepreneurs succeed. To learn more, go to techstars.com. Welcome to the Boulder Tech Podcast. I'm your host, Joel Davis. Episode 48 of the Boulder Tech Podcast is part of a special Wild series of interviews recorded during the 10th annual Boulder Startup Week. Wild, or Women Inspiring Leadership Development, is a new track at Boulder Startup Week 2019 and features candid conversations celebrating women's startup success, diversity, power, mentoring muscle, and leadership impact. For the Wild series, I'm pleased to hand off interviewing duties to Stephanie Brady, Managing Director at IFG Studios and board member of the Wild Council. On today's episode, Stephanie chats with Leslie Na, founder and CEO of Truthbomb, about why Leslie left corporate America to start her own venture, dealing with unexpected startup challenges, how her personal experiences shape her entrepreneurial spirit, and more on this Wild episode of the Boulder Tech Podcast, as Stephanie Brady speaks with Truthbomb's Leslie Na.
We're pleased to have Leslie Na, founder and CEO of Truthbomb, providing customer insights, research, and strategy exclusively to startups and small businesses. She brings more than 10 years consumer insights experience from Danone and Procter & Gamble to Truthbomb, which she proudly named as an antidote to combat sugar-coated customer research practices she's seen too often. She's also a mentor for Boomtown and Project Excite. Leslie Na, welcome to our Wild podcast.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
I want to start a little bit with your entrepreneur journey and why you decided to leap into that, especially after spending 10 years in big, big business with great brands. So what made you jump?
What a good question. I sort of see myself as an accidental entrepreneur, to be honest. So to take a step back, I am the daughter of conservative Chinese immigrants. We don't lead, we follow the hell out of whatever it is that we're doing. And actually, when I was growing up, I was pretty much given four choices of what I could be. So doctor, engineer, lawyer, or world-class pianist. And at one point, I was actually on my way to becoming the last, which is a different story. So yeah, I was definitely not your stereotypical, oh, this girl's gonna be an entrepreneur. No way. Actually, that word wasn't even in my vocabulary. Honestly, it really just stemmed from, I always knew that something was missing in my career and in my life. I have no regrets about doing the corporate track. I've learned a ton, seen a lot, met people who have become my second family. But I always knew that just from a soul standpoint, right, when something rings true, you know it. And I just always knew that something was missing, and I just didn't know what that missing piece was. And it wasn't until about 2 years ago, I came up with this wacky idea, and I ran it. And it wasn't Truth Bonds, a different idea, but I ran it by a lot of people and it didn't exist and I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't know that when an idea doesn't exist and it's solving a big problem that you're onto a startup idea. I didn't have that language. And it wasn't until somebody said, like, are you talking about startup? Like, that's what this is. You know that, right? And I was like, no. That's not me. That couldn't be what that is. I don't know what that is. Entrepreneurship, that's for really cool, savvy, smart, crazy people. Like, I'm not any of those things, right? But it just kept nagging me and nagging me and nagging me, and I couldn't let it go. And so the more I looked into the idea, I realized that that's what that was. And so honestly, that was the impetus for how I started my startup journey.
How did you then decide to ignore that idea and launch Truthbomb? How did you find the idea once you finally felt the essence of, hey, I think I am entrepreneurial? Even though it wasn't necessarily anything you knew of as a name, it was kind of came from your heart first. And once it was a reality of, hey, an idea can be a business, as long as I'm solving a problem, it's not been done before. What made the difference between that idea and truly selecting Truth Bomb as your launch?
Yeah, I wish I had a really sexy, lightning struck me type of story. But I mean, I'll tell you the truth. Originally, I was going to pursue that idea. And as we all know, it takes a while, if ever, right, for a startup to make money. And I have to feed myself and my family. And so originally, Truth Bomb was just supposed to run in the background. It was never going to be a thing. I was just going to freelance on Truth Bomb. And I named it Truth Bomb on a whim. I mean, in 2 seconds, I was like, that seems like a good idea. I'll name it Truth Bomb. But the truth is, a bunch of things that I had been planning on coming through, a lot of clients that had said they would work with me on Truth Bomb, it sort of just all fell through. And looking back, I think it was just serendipitous, because had that not happened, then I wouldn't have been forced to really take a hard look at what Truth Bomb could become. But that was really the impetus. It was because all these potential clients just suddenly just said, you know what, we don't have the money, or we don't have the work right now. And I was like, I can't do my other idea. I have to feed my family. So it was very pragmatic, which is not super sexy, but my obligation is to my family first. And so that's what plunged me into the deep waters of startup. I started talking to founders and startup teams and saying, you know, where could I plug in? What need could I really help and solve? And that's when I came up with Truth Bomb as it is today.
How did you sharpen it? When you think you first came to some barriers of people said they were interested and then the contracts didn't come through.
Yep.
Had to take a hard look at it. What did you find and discover about sharpening Truth Bomb to where it is today?
I had several shocking discoveries in succession, and it was just because I was doing my research. So everybody, I think, knows that what will make or break any business, not just startups, is really understanding who your target customer is, right? Everything dovetails off of that, right? What was shocking to me, though, is that even though the market research industry is a $45 billion industry, it's been around for 100 years. In this time, not a single agency, resource, et cetera, has ever created something exclusively for startup. And anybody that's ever been an entrepreneur knows, right, that the startup world and the way that it works is night and day difference from the corporate world. But the market research currently only caters really to the big billion-dollar giants. And I was just shocked by that. And maybe that wouldn't be a big deal if it weren't for the fact that consumer insights, like I said, is so, so important. And there's, in fact, a post-mortem study done by CB Insights that indicates that, you know, the number one reason for startup failure is, in fact, the lack of understanding of your customer and the inability to achieve product market fit, right? And so I just looked at that as honestly an injustice. I was like, I don't understand why this huge behemoth of an industry is not helping out the startup community, where we are changing the world. We are curing the cancers, right? We're doing all these amazing things. And you're telling me that the biggest thing that could make or break their business, we're just going to leave them to fend for themselves. That felt very unjust to me. And so I called up, you know, 100 of my colleagues and said, you know, has anybody ever done this before? How come we're not doing it? And everybody said, well, there's no money in it. And frankly, we're very, very comfortable making a huge living off of the billion-dollar guys. And I thought, well, if no one's going to do it, then I guess I will. And so that really became the heart of Truth Bomb, to create something that's really custom built for the way that startups work.
And how do you deliver that service to the small businesses or startups? Is it customized to each and every one, or is
So it's interesting, and I've played with different business models. So it's always challenging with a service-based business how to scale that, right? And so I've tinkered with different models. Where I've landed today is I have different packages, if you will, for different stages. You know, if you're early stages versus post-launch versus growth, the packages obviously kind of evolve with that. And then what's really important to me is the relationship, right? So it's important for my clients to know that I'm in there for the long haul. But in truth, just being totally honest, you know, it is really hard when you don't have either, you know, a widget that sort of can sell itself when you're not there, or a, you know, SaaS-based or a tech-based product. When it's service-based, you know, built on your back, that's really difficult. And so, yeah, I'm still figuring that out.
Absolutely. We appreciate the truth about that.
Yeah.
Do you ever, when you work with small businesses or startups and you tell them, here's what the research says about their customers. Do they believe it? I mean, is there ever a time where you're delivering the insights, here are your customers and here's what they want? Do they ever say, oh, I don't believe that, or I don't think so? Like, how does that work when you finally, you're data-driven, here's what the data says. What do sort of startup founders and small businesses, do they embrace that, or have you ever been surprised by the lack of buy-in for, no, I know better, or I don't believe that? Have you ever had that happen?
So the lack of buy-in or belief typically comes more from the big conglomerates, the big corporate guys. With smaller companies and startups, it's not so much that they don't buy into it, it just may be that that's not low-hanging fruit and it's not something that they can action right away, right? So they believe it, they've put resources behind doing the work, but it's more about, okay, what can we do today, and then kind of stair step our way into the long-term bigger strategies.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
You cut your teeth in the customer insights for over 10 years, these big brands, Danone and P&G. Did anything in your body of work surprise you most about consumer behavior?
In general, or
are customers as fickle as we try to label them, or in fact, are customers actually pretty habitual? Did you find out anything interesting, at least from a customer that's purchasing CPG products, consumer packaged goods products, where it surprised you of what you kept finding? Was there any trend that emerged or anything?
I mean, I would say it's honestly a bit of both. People are extremely habitual and irrational at the same time. And I think we know this, right? I think if we just know ourselves and just think about ourselves for a second, we're like, oh yeah, no, that's me. Yeah, and so I think that's the balance, right? You know, if we're talking about, say, if you have a food product, right? Like, everybody tends to go to the grocery store. It tends to be typically the same cadence, you know, once a week, once every other week, whatever. And usually they try to do it every other day, right? But then you start diving into, okay, well, what brands do they pick and why? It doesn't always make rational sense. People are very irrational people. And so I think that sometimes may be a little surprising to clients because it's so much easier to pigeonhole people. They want to be able to say that my target person is a certain demographic and they always do this way and that way and things are never contradictory, but that's just not the way humans work.
Right.
And so you know, it's really more about understanding how they think and how they behave and just don't try to fight it. I mean, I'm honestly, like, I've sometimes seen clients get to the point where they even make fun of, I mean, I hate to say it, but that's true. They make fun of the people that they interview kind of behind their backs, right? Because they just in this suspended disbelief that a person could say that or think that way. But that is the truth, right? And you can either accept that or not.
Anything when you started Truth Bomb in the launch process that surprised you? You know, not sugarcoating kind of that journey. What surprised you most about your launch journey? And if you had to do it again, what would you change?
The biggest, and it's also my most humbling lesson in my entrepreneurial journey so far, is that there's a huge difference between what people say and what people will actually do. And of course, I say this all the time to my clients, but you know, it was a lesson that I had to learn on the business side. Because when I started out and throughout, and even now, when I explain Truth Bomb and pitch it and explain the proposition, people's eyes get really big and they get super excited and they say, oh my God, you are onto something. Like, thank God you're doing this. This is amazing, right? Like, I'm gonna call you tomorrow. But a lot of them don't. And that was really humbling for me because this is my first startup experience, right? So I've been learning as I go of the real madness of what it's like to be in startup, right? And so I've never once had somebody say, I don't get it. They all get it. They really do. They all get the need. But when the rubber meets the road, it's really difficult to find the time, the energy, the money to prioritize this, especially when you're in the early stages. Yeah.
But it's central to the core value proposition of who are their customers and what do they want?
It is. It so is. And, you know, unfortunately, and this is part of why I started Truth Bomb, is that current convention says that when you first start out, your mandatories are marketing. It's finance. It's, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Right now, an investor is not going to tell them you have to hire somebody professional to take a look at your customer understanding. And so the default thinking is that, oh, I can just do this myself until if and when, you know, I need to outsource for this.
Almost thinking of research as a luxury. We'll get to it after we have enough spend or budget.
Exactly.
Otherwise, so, we're going to fly through it and keep iterating as we go versus making a smart investment early on in who their customers are.
You got that. Yeah, you got it. And some people are very, very savvy about their customers, oftentimes because they're solving their own problem. So they start out being their own customer. So sometimes they're able to get a certain distance with that. But a lot of times, I mean, I know so many startups who unfortunately, they have had to backtrack because they got to a certain point and then hit an uh-oh moment that, oh shoot, you know, we're doing all this marketing, sales, et cetera, strategy, and we don't know who the hell we're talking to. And so they have to reverse engineer or they have to backtrack. And so that's a lot of wasted time and money on the table.
Truth Bomb, 2 years old, correct?
One.
1 year old. What would Truth Bomb's birthday look like 3 years from now where you're celebrating? What would that look like?
I don't know. Right now might be the time to actually talk about the pivot that we're going through.
Okay.
If that's fair.
Absolutely.
Right. So again, just being, you know, true to the Truth Bomb ethic, I've said before, you know, it has been a hard row. I absolutely believe and am supported by many, many, many other people in and outside of the industry that this is an absolute need for startups. That being said, just with my own situation, personally and professionally, I have not yet been able to crack the nut from a business model standpoint. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just not totally sustainable, and that product market fit has been really difficult. Truth Bomb, it will still be here through the rest of 2019. So if you need help with that, certainly still reach out. But I actually, you know, have some exciting news that I'd love to share, that I actually recently accepted a role to be co-founder and CMO for a SaaS platform called Makena.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
wonderful.
Thank you.
Tell us about that.
Makena is, it's a SaaS platform. It's an app. And so it's B2B to C. So if you are the C, if you are the consumer, then you would download the app for free and you basically get rewards and cash back on only natural and organic products. And so we are solely focused on the natural products and goods industry. So we're very mission-based. You know, we care very, very deeply about holistic living and saving the planet and all those things. And so that's why the platform is solely focused on natural-based goods. So you as a consumer, you know, you're going to get cash back on things that you would have bought anyway. And you get an opportunity to discover some amazing mission-based, super cool emerging natural products. From a brand perspective, when you join on the Makena platform, you get a captive audience of only people who just want to jump all over your product, right? Like, these are your people, and we're giving you a captive audience and a platform to share your story, to share your products only among people who care.
Capturing any consumer insights along the way?
Oh my gosh, better believe it.
Absolutely.
You better believe it. We've, at this point, collected a lot of data, and that was what initially drew Karin, the founder, to me and drew us together, was because we're sitting on a gold mine of data, honestly. And so, you know, I'm working on putting together some amazing packages, because data by itself does nothing, right? But when you can figure out what to do with the data and use that to really inform your business, that's when amazing things happen. And so I'm currently working on the data so that we can turn around and offer really cool things to our businesses to help them understand their consumers and what to do about it.
Leslie, how do you view your shift from Truth Bomb to Makena?
I think it's very tempting for people to whether they view my own story or just when they go through something like this themselves, to view it as a failure. Mm-hmm. And I think it's super, super important for people to understand, at least for me, it depends on how you define failure. But I see this as a huge stepping stone. I accepted Makena not because Truth Bomb was a failure and I just need something, and so I jumped onto this, you know, anybody who would take me, right? Like, it's absolutely not that at all. You know what it is? It's that, who was the philosopher who said that? The whole know thyself, right?
Yes.
So I've always been on this continuous journey of like knowing myself, knowing my business, all those things. And so I was always very aware of the highlights and the lowlights of Truth Bomb. And so honestly, when Makena came along, I knew myself and my business so well that I knew that it was the perfect opportunity and I knew that it was the right next step.
Do you think your parents, let's go back to what you'd first imagined, when you first commented to me, do you think your parents are embracing your entrepreneurial journey, or do you have to still explain to them what you do and why? Are they on board?
You know, they have come around. So I will tell you, I told you how I grew up, right? And so when I first told them what I was doing, they were like, what the hell are you thinking, Leslie, right? But obviously, like, I'm a grown-ass woman, so there's very little that they could do about it. But then I will tell you, you know, I was at my dad's this Christmas, and I was giving him updates, you know, on Truth Bomb, because Makena had happened at the time, and he was quiet for a minute, and he sat back, and then he looked at me and said, you know, Leslie, when you first told me that you were doing this, I was really, really scared for you. But now, I couldn't be more proud of you.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
And so that was a really cool moment. So yeah, I am the first entrepreneur of my family ever. So, and hopefully the first of many.
And speaking your truth led you to that journey.
Yes, ma'am.
Is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners that you'd really want them to know?
I was talking with Shale and the other panelists yesterday, because we were, all four of us are women of color and moms and founders. And I feel like that dynamic is so, it's just a very unique dynamic, right? And I think I would just love for listeners, like, if they are one or all of those things, right, to understand that you can still do it. It's hard, but you can still do it.
What's the hardest part of that?
Which part? All of it?
Yes, all of it. Woman of color and a mom. It's hard.
Really hard. Any one of those things by themselves is hard. And then you add them together, and then you add the layer of being a founder, it's fucking hard. It's also fucking amazing, right? Otherwise, we wouldn't be doing it.
Right.
Yeah, and so, you know, I want people to know that if you are one or all of those things and you have an idea or you're at the early stage, that you can absolutely do it. There will be some crazy, crazy ass moments. And I have so many funny stories and not so funny stories that I could share about that. But it's absolutely possible. And the biggest thing is just to find your tribe, because you're not alone, but you need to find that tribe, because you will run into some shitty moments, right? You're gonna face discrimination. That's not an if, that's a win, for sure. You're gonna face moments where you feel like you have to choose between your business and your family. What are you gonna do, right? Those are really, really tough things. And just to know that you're not alone, I think, is huge, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you found your tribe?
I have, and I'm continually growing it. So if anybody wants to join, hop on board the Leslie Knott tribe. But yeah, I mean, absolutely. You know, in the beginning, part of what made the beginning so hard was that I didn't have my tribe, that it was so lonely, right? Because I was a brand new, newly minted entrepreneur. No one in my current tribe or family knew of any, you know, they couldn't say, oh, you need to join this group, right? There was none of that. So I had to figure it all out on my own. But now, yeah, I have some amazing, both men and women in my life that, you know, are super supportive, and I support them. But yeah, it's really important.
I think as entrepreneurs, we don't really talk about how lonely the journey can be sometimes.
Yes.
And a lot of people are focused on how fascinating and exciting and, oh, you're gutsy, but it's still, at the end of the day, you're pushing your business forward, and it can be a lonely endeavor. So I appreciate the mention of finding those peeps that you've got to have.
Yep.
At your back.
Yep.
Yeah.
You got to have those ladies and men. I've been called a badass many, many times, which I appreciate, right? Like, oh, you're such a badass, Leslie. But you know what? I'm just a person who's continually moving towards who I am. That's what I am. And if that makes me a badass, cool. I'm good with that. But I'm also a person who struggles with living on the fringe, right? In a world that is not equal, and struggling between writing that last email that I have to get out and my son tugging at my arm because I haven't played with him enough that night, right? And he doesn't feel loved right now.
Right.
And I'm also a person struggling with how do you present yourself? You know, I was talking with one of our panelists yesterday, right? And she was sharing that, yeah, she's been advised more than once that she should put her white male counterparts in front of investors instead of herself. I mean, these things are very, very real. It comes up every day. And honestly, just puts a fire under my butt to fight it even more. Because when we move towards equality, that benefits everyone. This isn't just for us, right? We're not saying this is just for women. And what, you know, when women, people on the fringe, right? The LGBTQIA, like everybody, right? When we can move towards equality, that benefits everybody. We're just trying to, and that benefits business. What's good for us is good for business.
Absolutely. Have to ask, do you still play the piano?
On occasion. It's hard when you have a little kid who finally went the fuck to sleep and you don't want to wake him up. But yeah, during Christmas and during special occasions, I do. It still gives me joy.
Fantastic. Leslie, thanks so much for sharing your journey. Honestly, not sugarcoating it, and we wish you the best of luck.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
That was Truth Bomb founder and CEO Leslie Nah speaking with the Wild Council's Stephanie Brady. It's part of the Wild series of interviews recorded during Boulder Startup Week 2019. Learn more about Truth Bomb at truthbomb.life and follow the company on Twitter at Truth Bomb Life. The Wild at Boulder Startup Week podcast series is supported by First Bank, banking for good, to help business customers achieve their goals and provide them the resources to succeed. Learn more at efirstbank.com. The Boulder Tech Podcast is made possible in part by Boulder Startup Week Platinum sponsors Honey, Matter, and Zayo. We're also supported by Glider, a Colorado-based community movement and nonprofit that produces Boulder's Ignite and TEDx events, as well as Boulder Startup Week. Learn more and consider a donation at glider.com. Thanks to Dojo 4 for providing space for our podcast studio, and to KGNU Community Radio for recording gear and studio usage. Our intro music is by Echo Deck. Hear more at echodeck.com. That's ECCODEK. Our outro music is by Earthrise Sound System. You'll find them at earthrisesoundsystem.com. The Boulder Tech Podcast is produced by me, Joel Davis. Your feedback, criticisms, comments, and guest suggestions are welcome. Reach me at joel@dojo4.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you back here next time for another episode of the Boulder Tech Podcast.